like pretend to be Mariah Carey. Like,
that's clearly what I want to do. When everybody.
Oh my
I
god! Yes.
Everybody
no,
to
yeah, when
leave
we
just have like 10 minutes.
No, but we should do like no, we should do like an acapella one as well.
Okay.
Just,
yeah.
Just
with our.
Yeah, we have
some.
This is the first track I ever listened to by the multidisciplinary artist Klein. When I heard it, I had no sense of genre, no grounding or context to attach to it. I was disoriented, which is a rare, wonderful feeling in art. This is how her new record begins. Klein's music breaks down the structures of music and style through a particularly digital kind of deconstruction. It's audio culture refracted through a broken computer. The writer Fred Moten poetically introduces this album as a soundtrack of epic revolt against beginnings and ends, drilled, trapped, and re-released into release from communication into lush, unbounded share. Over the last 6 years, Klein has released a handful of albums and EPs. Each one has expanded her already expanded sound through collaborations with people like the singer Charlotte Church and the artist Diamond Stingley, who you can hear speaking on this track.
I remember once when my brother was talking about us growing up, he said he can remember his first memory. I asked him what it was. And he was like, he gotta be about 3, and he going down the steps. And our house was really small, we only had like 3 steps. And our mom and dad is like sitting on the couch. And they turn back and look at him and smile. And I thought that was a really beautiful movie.
Klein's exhibited visual art and written short stories. She staged a musical at the London ICA, which she adapted into an experimental feature-length film she directed and acted in. She's performed at the Serpentine Gallery, MoMA, and Art Basel, and she's about to perform at the Barbican later this month. In 2009, she made a hypertext storytelling game, for which she also made a theme song you'll be hearing played throughout this interview at Klein's request. And at the time of our interview, she was busy writing a play. In this way, Klein's work is a surprise. This was also true of our conversation, in which she listed off some of her early influences as sitcom TV theme songs, commercial jingles, and a Nigerian Nollywood soundtrack about a demon woman from hell, all of which you'll hear a little in the following episode. In some ways, this all makes sense. Klein's work comes from a childlike place, scrubbed free of knowledge. And so, to begin, she started talking about what she called the cringy parts of her childhood, and how her recent film, Care, documented this feeling. Throughout the interview, you'll also notice that Klein's voice changes in peculiar ways. This is because she treated her half of the dialogue as a kind of musical experiment, transforming the pitch and quality and timing, just as she would in one of her tracks.
I feel like the cringy parts of your childhood is just like the stuff that you were just kind of embarrassed about, like the things that you just were like, whether it's like the boy you liked or like the song you were like, ugh, or like the way you used to like kind of communicate with people. And I remember in when we kind of made like the film, it was just like a lot of the conversations had, which is the kind of stuff you say when you're younger, in it. And I think it's like a dialogue about like crackheads. And like one of the girls, Kush, she's like, oh, but crackheads are the smartest people I know. And then one of the girls is like, nah, but they're just so weird, innit? And then like, the other boy, Shay, is like, no, but they're so cool. One showed me how to swallow a coin and spit it out. And this is like, huh? But like, that's like what I kind of mean in like the stuff, like in chart, like when you're younger, and you're like, huh? That's the conversation, and that will just last for like an hour. And like, it could be a reoccurring theme throughout your life. And like, that, those are the kind of stuff that I kind of want to explore, like kind of the random conversations that you have when you're younger, like that are not that like polished or PC as well. I kind of want to explore a lot of that.
Do you remember a lot of these little moments from your childhood? Do you have like distinct, vivid memories?
I say yeah, but I also say no. Like, I feel like I definitely have a lot of gaps where I don't remember things. A lot of them are often like triggered by like if I see like a music video, or I see like I don't know, like a presenter. It could be like, I don't know, seeing Kat Deeley or Reggie Yates. Like, oh yeah, that reminded me of like. But then like a lot of the times I have a lot of gaps within like my own childhood.
Yeah, I have the same thing where I'll try to remember something that seems important and I can't seem to put it together in the kind of linear way that other people do with their memories. Instead, it's just this collage of, you know, feelings. And I've been recently trying to sit down and really remember moments and actually like spending time like excavating them, you know, like trying to see if I can actually pull this thing out. And the interesting thing is I'm not sure if they are memories or if I'm just making things up too. Like, you can never know, right?
You know what? It's funny. That reminds me of something I was reading the other day. Have you heard of this thing called the Mandela effect? It's like a thing where people like think that something has happened and it just actually just never happened. And it's like kind of our own memories, like kind of like convincing us of things that actually happened, but like they actually just never happened. I feel like in my brain, I'm like, I remember when Kurt Cobain died. And it's like, well, wait, what? Like, I feel like I felt like he died like 15 years after he died. Cause I feel like that's just a me situation. Cause I feel like I just actually just like listened to his album and then like read that he died. And then like in my mind when I was younger, I just thought he died just after I listened to the album. So I was like, he died in the 2000s. But like, obviously he died years ago, decades. It's pretty nuts. I feel like I remember theme songs. That's why I remember a lot. Like I remember theme songs. Like I remember this theme song for the show called 101. It's about a girl who goes to live with her sports cast the dad, and who's like a bachelor, and she's living with her dad, and it's called 101, and it's them like figuring life together. Sometimes it's like you can feel all by yourself. Check, one, two. But I have a partner when I can't try no one else. So don't isolate yourself when there's nobody around. I'll be there to think and then what aren't you like.
I remember
theme song of like All of Us. It's like a cute family show.
It's like produced by like Will Smith. Often I wish that we could take the time to see the me there is to be a family. Yeah, cause it's all of us. Sometimes it can be rough. Time and seasons change, but we will still remain. I remember Moesha. I remember like the Moesha theme video changing multiple times. Like, I have strong memories of that, and then that's it. It's just like gaps.
Pizza.
And then it's like Dick and Dom. Yeah, that's like a CBBC, CBBS show. I just feel like that show was actually just chaos.
Yeah, I always think about how TV theme songs and actually church songs that I heard as a kid, those are the ones that have probably been stuck in my head the longest, even longer than pop music.
It's actually funny, someone was saying this the other day. Someone was talking about how, like, they were like, yeah, the new pop girls, they don't be coming from the church no more, you can hear it. And I was like, you know what, that's so true, because I feel like there was an era where, like, kind of everyone kind of came from somewhere, whether it's the church or something, so it's like it had like such a massive influence on like music and like the sounds, that even like the theme songs you'd hear, because it literally was like, even all of us, it was like, it's so sick and it's beautiful and it's this, but it is literally, it just sounds like, it sounds like it has such gospel twangs to it as well. And I feel like a lot of that kind of filtered itself into like kind of pop music around that kind of era, or like the music you'd hear in, things, because it was, because people were literally, they were like kind of, I guess, the generation after their parents that were just like kind of religious, that kind of grew up in the church, so it must have had such a, definitely had played a part in what else we were all hearing.
What about classical music? The new album seems to come out of that in a way that your other music doesn't as much.
Not like I've not sat down and been like, oh yeah, I've sat down and listened to classical music, because that would really just be, I'll be capping if I said I did, but I definitely watched a lot of Nollywood films, and that's really it, really. Like, I think watching a lot of like I watched this film, it's called Karashika. It's so sick. It's done by this, the music's done by this guy called Stanley Okiri. And the funny thing is that if you just hear it, you'd be like, oh, wait, why does it sound like this? Like, it's actually tapped. The music's so tapped. Like, so, like, it's like here and it's here and it's like spooky and it's scary and it's like mystical and it's like, has like, I guess, ambient undertones. But these are things that was just normalized to me to listen to. And like, this is what I just used to listen to. Growing up watching these films, a lot of the films were like films that were like distributed by the church to like distract, like just entertain people from like voodoo, but then they would make like the most scariest film to like, but they were like all like films made by the church, but the music would be so nuts. And that's why I was just like, it was just normalized for me to just kind of watch films like that and just kind of I guess, process these sounds. So even when, at the time, when I was just like, I guess, like, you know, a few years ago, when I was just listening to like Radio 1 and Hot 97 and all, just all these things, I didn't even realize that all my life I'd already been listening to stuff that was already left as heck. Like, I think a lot of Nollywood scores are just classical, it's ambient, it's this, without really kind of thinking about the Western world at all. I feel like my relationship with music is weird. I don't really be thinking that much about what it exists, like what, like, I don't know. Whereas in film, I'd say I'm more like picky, like I'm more like, okay, now you got to use this. No, I'm like, I don't know, I'd say more critical kind of with filmmaking stuff. And I guess that's probably because that's actually something that was like kind of something I actually actively wanted to become a filmmaker. Whereas music was just like, that was just a hobby. That was really just a hobby. But I just kept to myself and just had fun with it and didn't really think about what I was doing or why I was doing it. That's the thing, it's still like, I think that's the thing, like, for me, it's still like something that's just like, it's like, you know, like, like, you know, people go, like, I like my diary entry. And I feel like I said it before and it sounds really cheesy, but it's like, it really be like that. Cause like, if I didn't see it like that, oh my God, I would have to be signed to Columbia Records and just have a Jay-Z actually manage me. I'd be like, come on. Like, I would really be on my Hollywood flex. But because I really just see it as just something that's just like, it's just something that's just like, it's something that I don't really put, I try not to put too much pressure on it. So it's that's why it has room. There's such room for me to, I'm just like, to be playful with it, because it's just like, that's like my thing. That's like, you know, that's like my, like, it's like, you're my little, my thing, my little hobby as well. That is just like a glorified hobby that I think that is like nice that like other people like it, or some people
may not like it.
But it's like, it literally doesn't even matter, because like, I'm just having fun with something that I kept a secret for so many years.
Is this the same when you're directing? I mean, you said that you take film more critically. And so I wonder, when you're making a film, how is that process? Are you actively directing? Are you more controlling and serious about the whole project?
I'd say yeah. Like, I definitely, like, will care. Like, all the bits, there's, like, so many bits in the film that may feel, like, were quite accidental. And it's like, nah. Like, everything is meant to be exactly where it is. Like, everything is very intentional. Like, a lot of scenes, like, really, like, you know, the scenes where you may see them, but, like, that's not acting. But, and that's, like, a lot of it. Like, there's, like, workshops, rehearsals, like, the dramaturg. Like, it was pretty, like that. And I'm not gonna lie, I definitely had that approach for kind of the first few months of doing it, and then I then had to then zoom out, and then I had to just be like, yo, and then I had to kind of go back to like then like having more fun with it, because I was like so like precious about that, because I was like, this is what I'm made to be doing, making films. So I was like so serious with it, and then I kind of had to then like stop for a bit and then chill, and then went back to just kind of now, because obviously I was also playing, I'm directing it, but I'm also playing one of the main characters, and then I had to kind of go into my kind of weird inner child and just do some shots that were just fun, that weren't really like overthought and weren't really script led. And funny enough, those moments were actually what then made the film kind of what it was, the bits where I kind of learned to let go. And so yes, yeah, so I think from making Care, I've learned a lot about letting go.
Thank you for listening to Subject Object Verb, presented by Art Review. I'm Ross Simonini. As always, we encourage you to reach out to us at subjectobjectverb@artreview.com, or you can write a review on the podcast app discussing your favorite TV theme song. To play us out, here's one of Klein's favorite childhood jingles for a product I have never tried called What's Its. They sound delicious.
Yo, What's it, Sonya? What's it, Sonya? What's it, Sonya? What's it, yo? Please don't put down your packet. It's the land of sight preferred. By the whitest wife, I'm winning from the guy who came today. What's it, Sonya? What's it, Sonya? What's it, Sonya? What's it? Yo, what's it, Sonya? What's it, Sonya? What's it, Sonya? What's it? Dropping through the atmosphere in case you hadn't heard. A cheeky space and make it get you feeling like a nerd. Look out! What's it, Sonya? What's it, Sonya? What's it, Sonya? What's it, yo? What's this on ya? What's this on ya? What's this on ya? What's this? Big up the guys from Leicester for welcoming Watsons into they walkers massive.